Want to read the Word of God from the book of Galatians, chapter 6. We'll read the chapter through, beginning at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Coming to verse 7 of this chapter and the opening statement of verse 8 as well. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Let's take a moment and bow in prayer and look to the Lord for his blessing. Our Father, we ask thee to bless the consideration of thy word. Thou art the giver of thy word. Thou art the instructor, the enlightener. Thou art the one who opens up our understanding and opens up our hearts as well to thy word to receive it. And therefore, Lord, we pray for the ministry of the Holy Ghost just now as we come around the word of God. If we are to profit today, it will be because thy Spirit has ministered to our hearts. Lord, there is no profit in listening to this preacher of himself. We cannot, O God, create an anxious thought. We need words from thee. We need them to be blessed of the Holy Ghost. We need them to be applied with power. And therefore, Lord, we look to thee now for help from heaven. Come and close us in with thyself, and take away every wandering thought that would distract us from the word of God. And may we give thought and heed to thy truth in this place. Give help, I pray, as I preach. Give us all help to hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we commenced a study last Lord's Day morning regarding how the Word of God uses the concept of the harvest. This is harvest, or the end of the harvest season. It's autumn time, and the natural physical harvest is more or less gathered in, and we're going to have our harvest services, and some places have already conducted their harvest services in an acknowledgement of the gathering in of the physical harvest. So it is an appropriate theme to dwell upon around this time of the year. And when we come to the Word of God, we discover that there are seven ways in which the Bible uses this concept of the harvest. I listed them all last Lord's Day, and we'll just not go over them this morning now again. We're going to work our way through them as the Lord helps overcoming Sabbath days, as he would tarry and spare us in this world. So we'll work our way through each one of them. Now, last Lord's Day morning, we thought about the physical harvest of the world. We went back to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And we looked at that key verse that was there in that place, the words given to Noah by the Lord when he came out of the ark, and how the Lord promised that there would be a seed time and a harvest time. And we considered some things with regards to that. Now, in building upon that reality of the natural and the physical harvest of the world, with which we're all familiar, these other ways in which the Bible uses the concept of the harvest take us over into the realm of the spiritual. In many ways, the physical world is God's picture gallery. The Lord has many pictures for us there in the physical world, with laws that operate and activity that goes on in the physical world, and it is designed to teach us and to illustrate for us spiritual truth. And that is certainly true when we think about the harvest and these other ways in which the Bible uses this concept of the harvest. For as I say, there is the physical harvest that we thought about last time, but then now when we come over into these other realms and ways whereby the Bible uses this concept of the harvest, we're into the realm of the spiritual. And that brings us to this portion of Scripture that we have before us here today. Because there are laws that are associated with the physical, natural harvest of the world that do come over into the spiritual realm. If not directly, they certainly illustrate for us particular spiritual truths. The second one that I listed last Lord's Day and that we're going to come to now to consider is the carnal harvest of the world. And you have it there in that statement in verse 8, although we will bring in verse 7 this morning as well and consider it in connection with this. But the carnal harvest is particularly outlined for us there in verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So there is this thought of sowing and there is the thought of reaping. There's the harvest here that is found in connection with the statement, and we have entitled it the carnal harvest of the world. The first thing I want you to notice here when we think about this is the general rule of the harvest that is stated. And that takes us to verse 7, this really introductory statement of Paul, and he's under the spirit of inspiration here. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So there's this introductory statement that is given to us, and then Paul outlines in verse 8 the carnal harvest, and we'll come on to think as well about the spiritual harvest there as well that's found in the latter part of verse 8. But we're only going to deal with the first one here this morning, the carnal harvest. But with regards to this general rule of the harvest, you will notice there in verse 7 that there is a warning that is given to us about being deceived on this matter. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the Lord would have us not to be deceived on this matter. And that highlights the fact that there is a tendency within human nature to think contrary to the principle of the harvest. The principle of the harvest there is given in verse 7. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But there is a tendency in human nature to think contrary to that, to think in the very opposite way to what is laid down for us in the physical world, that we observe in the physical world and happens in the physical world, and then the same principle comes over into the spiritual realm, that whatsoever a man sows, that is what he's going to reap. There is that tendency in human nature to think that when, with regards to ourselves, with regards to our lives in the spiritual realm, that somehow this is going to be different. Even though this principle operates in the world around us and is illustrated every year when we think about the natural harvest. Yet there is a tendency in human nature to think, oh, this principle doesn't apply to my life, that I'll reap what I sow. So here we have in the scriptures this warning, be not deceived, God is not mocked. We cannot deceive ourselves, neither can we deceive God. There's this twofold aspect to it. Be not deceived is directed toward us. Do not think that somehow it's going to work out differently with us, that we can sow to the flesh and somehow reap the spiritual blessings. The Lord says here that will not happen, and we are not to deceive ourselves into thinking that. And then on the other hand, we are not to think as well that God is mocked, that somehow God can be deceived, that we can hide the reality of our lives from God, and that somehow we can act and live in such a fashion before God that he will not really see us and how we think and how we act. So there's this twofold aspect that is highlighted here with regards to the warning that is contained within us. We are not to deceive our own hearts. We are not to let anyone else deceive us round about. Neither the devil. The devil is the great deceiver of all. He is the deceiver. That's his chief characteristic. He's even called that in the scripture as the deceiver. He's the great deceiver, and the devil can come and deceive us into thinking that this principle of the harvest, that you reap what you sow, will not affect me. It will not be applied to me. It will be applied in the physical world and maybe to others, but somehow I'm going to escape this ever working out in my life, that we reap what we sow. So there is this laying down of a warning. Not to be deceived. Now, if we come to think of this statement in verse 7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We can develop that law of the harvest in a number of ways when we think about our lives. There's that general law that is given, that you reap what you sow. But let's break it down into a number of different thoughts. First of all, we reap what we sow with respect to kind. You see, if the farmer sows wheat, he expects to reap wheat. If he sows barley, he will expect to reap barley. If he sows a mixed crop in his field, well, he's going to expect to reap a mixed crop. In the physical world, the farmer is not going to sow one type of seed and live with the expectation that come harvest time, a totally different type of seed is going to come forth in the harvest. No farmer will expect that. He knows that he will reap what he sows according to Cain. If he sows a particular seed, that's what's going to grow in the field. That's what's going to come forth in the harvest time. Well, that principle applies in the spiritual realm as well. That's what is given to us in verse 8, you see here, where it says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That principle is here enlarged and stated, that you reap according to kind. You don't sow one type of seeds in the spiritual realm with regards to our lives and expect to reap another type of harvest. We don't sow in the carnal and expect to reap in the spiritual. It doesn't happen like that. So when we think about this principle that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, we reap according to Cain. Sow carnal seeds and you and I will reap a carnal harvest as sure as night follows day. Sow spiritual seeds and we'll reap a spiritual harvest. It will never, ever be the case that we can sow carnal seeds in our lives and expect to reap a harvest. That will not happen in any of our lives, whether we're a child of God or whether we're unsaved this morning. This principle applies across the board to us all. We reap according to kind. It's whatever the nature of the seed is that we sow, that's going to be the nature of the harvest. That's a fundamental principle of the physical world, and it's a fundamental principle of the spiritual world as well. It would be a most foolish thing. We would look upon a farmer in the most foolish terms if he said, I've sowed one type of seed, but I'm expecting to reap a harvest of another type. We know that that is impossible. It's physically impossible. Well, it is just impossible in the spiritual realm as well, to sow carnal seeds and expect to reap a spiritual harvest. It doesn't happen. Let me give you some examples. Take Jacob for a moment. You think about Jacob and how he schemed. He schemed against his brother to win the birthright. He schemed against his father to get the blessing. He was a deceiver. He was twisted. W.P. Nicholson said he was that twisted he could have hid behind a corkscrew. Jacob was a twister, a deceiver, a supplanter, as he's given that title. Well, he reaped what he sowed. He reaped what he sowed. He reaped scheming. His own sons schemed against him. When you think about what happened with Joseph and how he loved Joseph. And Joseph was the son of Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And that was just a problem in every way to look at. But he had his affection set on Joseph, and that alienated his other sons. And they turned against him, and they schemed against him. They schemed against him in an even greater way than he ever schemed against his brother and his father. And without going over all the history of Joseph and Jacob, you can see how that principle is borne out. Jacob sowed his seeds of scheming and deceit, and he reaped them. He reaped the same kind as to what he has sown. And the same principle applies to us. If we sow seeds of scheming in our life, well, we can expect to reap them. That's the very harvest that we will reap as well. People will scheme against us if that is the manner in which we live. Think about David. Let's take another example very quickly. David sowed his seeds. He sowed the seeds of coveting another man's wife. He sowed the seeds of adultery. He sowed the seeds of murder. And David reaped them all. Again, we don't have time this morning to follow that through. But again, think about the incident with him and Bathsheba and how he ended up planning the death of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, on the battlefield. But David reaped those things. When Absalom, his son, rebelled against him, David reaped those things all over in his life. Absalom did things to David's wives, openly, publicly, in the sight of all Israel. Absalom engaged in murder, murdering David's other children. David reaped what he sowed. And men and women, the principle of the harvest is laid down in the Scriptures for us. No matter whether we are a child of God today or whether we are unsaved, we reap according to kind in our lives. If we sow carnal seeds, we will reap those carnal seeds again come the harvest time. But another principle that we can develop out of this statement that a man reaps whatsoever he sows, or a person reaps whatever they sow, we reap what we sow with respect to quality. Again, if the farmer sows good seed in his field, he can have a reasonable expectation that he will have a good crop as to quality. The harvest will have quality because he has carefully bought good seed. Maybe he has even researched the matter and found out what is the best seed to purchase in order to sow, that he might have a good harvest with regards to quality. He wants a good grain come harvest time. Well, if he wants a good grain come harvest time, the principle is he needs to sow good seed. And if he sows good seed, I know there's other factors that come into it as well, but there is a reasonable expectation when he does so that he will have a good grain with regards to the quality of his harvest. He cannot expect to sow poor seed in the field and have a high-grade harvest as to quality. That's impossible. Again, that defies logic. That defies the principles that are laid down in the physical world out there that we observe and see. And as I say, the Lord is illustrating spiritual truth to us all the time. If you want a high-grade harvest, you're going to have to use good seed when it comes sowing time. And it will be foolishness to expect anything, that somehow you can sow low-grade seed and have a high-quality harvest. Well, that comes over into the spiritual realm as well. Carnal seeds are pure-quality seeds, and they reap a very poor harvest. That's told to us here, again, this statement in verse 8. We're going to come on to think about this, hopefully this morning, where it says, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." And just tie up that, sowing to the flesh, reaping corruption. There's the illustration of poor seeds bringing a poor harvest. The seeds of the flesh, the seeds that are carnal, reap corruption. Reap corruption. Reap that which is dying and decaying and stinking. So there is this principle that we reap as to quality. It's the quality of the seed that we sow in our lives that counts. Are we sowing carnal seeds or spiritual seeds? That's the two thoughts that are presented here in verse 8 too. What are we sowing in our lives? Are we sowing poor quality seed? Well, then expect to reap a poor quality harvest. Or if on the other hand we are sowing good seed, spiritual seeds, then we can say, well, the Lord has promised a good harvest if we're sowing spiritual seeds. So the law applies as to quality. The law also applies as to quantity. We reap what we sow as to quantity. If you turn back in the Scriptures there, a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, and you may already think about this verse and the statement that is given to us with regards to sowing and reaping. It's a principle that applies out there in the physical world. If the farmer sows bountifully, he can expect to reap bountifully. If he sows sparingly, he's going to reap sparingly. If he doesn't sow anything at all, well, he can't go out into the field and expect to reap something if he hasn't sown. Again, those are fundamental principles that are laid down for us in the physical world that we observe continually. And that's what's stated here in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So with regards to quantity, this statement in Galatians 6 and verse 7 is true. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows bountifully, he's going to reap a bountiful harvest. If he sows sparingly, he's going to reap sparingly. Now, if that comes over into the spiritual. If we sow plenty of carnal seeds, we're going to have a large carnal harvest, a large harvest of corruption. If we sow plenty of spiritual seeds, then we can expect to have a greater spiritual harvest. It is according to the sowing that will determine the quantity. Much sowing is going to lead to a greater harvest. We reap in proportion to our sowing. So sow plenty of carnal seeds, we reap accordingly. Sow plenty of spiritual seeds, we reap accordingly. Whatever we sow, we reap as to quantity. These are all within this general principle that is given to us here in verse 7. A man reaps what he sows. Let's think about another one. We reap what we sow in a different season. If we go back there to Genesis 8:22, where we were last Lord's Day morning. You see, no farmer goes out and sows in his field and expects an immediate harvest. Again, he knows that is not how the physical world operates. There in Genesis 8:22, it speaks about a seed time and a harvest time. And the two of them are different. There is a season of the year to sow, there is a season of the year to reap. As we know, there has to be a growing and a developing of the plant and a bringing it on to the harvest time. And then will come the harvest time. He cannot expect to sow and immediately go out into the field the next day or the next week or even the next month and expect there to be an immediate harvest. That's not how it works in the physical realm. And neither does it work in the spiritual realm either. We reap in a different season to when we sow. Now that season in the spiritual realm can be longer than others. There is a shorter reaping season for some things. There's a shorter reaping season for carnal seeds. You can reap in this world the harvest of carnal seeds. The Christian might have to wait to eternity to finally reap their harvest of spiritual seeds. The harvest of good seeds, of what is given to us there in the latter part of verse 8, we'll understand it even in the context of the words. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And there is the thought there of reaping in eternity, reaping in heaven, reaping when this world is no longer. So the Christian does think about that. I reap in a different season. I sow in one season, I reap in another season. But the principle applies. According to the seed that I sow, that's what the harvest is going to be. I might have to wait a while for that harvest to come. But then the same is true in the carnal realm, men and women. And maybe even in a shorter period in some ways. If we sow in the carnal realm, if we sow carnal seeds, we're going to reap those in another season. And in a sense, we can reap those in this world. I've given you examples of Jacob and David, where he reaped them in this world. And the manner in which they lived, they reaped them in this world. If you look there at Galatians 6 and verse 9, you'll see this principle brought out. For it says, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And here's this thought, you see, of reaping in due season. It's not the immediate season that we sow in. No, that's just the seed time. The harvest time is going to come somewhat later, in due season. And as I say, that due season can be short or long, but it's going to be a different season as to when we sowed the seeds. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 for a moment and look at a couple of verses here that illustrate this point. Ecclesiastes, after Proverbs there, and before Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and it's verses 11 and 12 of this portion. Even Solomon, we started off saying here about a word of warning not to be deceived. Even Solomon got deceived on this matter. This man who started out being so wise, because he asked God for wisdom, but Solomon, as we know, drifted away from God and backslid, and the book of Ecclesiastes gives us an insight into all that foolish thinking that he engaged in backslidden ways. And here's one of them, that there was a time when he thought like this. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Here's this thought, you see, of the harvest. Sowing in one season, reaping in another. And Solomon says that because men think that the harvest of their actions didn't come immediately, that the seeds, the evil seeds that they sowed, the harvest didn't come immediately, that somehow they thought that they were getting away with the sin that they committed. Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. There's Solomon now acknowledging, there was a time when I thought like this. I thought if there wasn't an immediate harvest of the seeds that I had sown, the evil seeds, the sinful seeds that I had sown, that somehow I'd got away with it. But Solomon says, now I know. I know that it will only go well with those who fear God. It will only go well with those who sow spiritual seeds. Because ultimately there's a harvest time. There is a harvest time for every individual in the world. Now that harvest season might be long or short, but the principle is laid down in the scriptures that it will come to pass eventually. There is going to be a reaping in due season. In due season we shall reap. One final thought here with regards to this law of the harvest and these principles that flow out of this statement, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is more difficult to reap a good harvest than a bad harvest. Weeds and such like grow easily. That seems to be the principle. Not only seems to be the principle, that is the principle out there in the physical world. It seems the weeds grow more easily than good seed. Good seed needs ground prepared, needs cultivation, needs care and attention for it to come to the harvest and to yield a good harvest. But there are things that grow easily in the physical world, all too easily. They don't need much cultivation. In fact, there's some things they don't need any cultivation at all. They just grow so well and so wildly at times. But they are not the things that you want to harvest. They're not the things you want to be producing. They are weeds and such like. To have a good harvest requires care and effort. And again, the principle applies in the spirit realm as well. If we want to have a good harvest, it needs care, cultivation. It's difficult to reap a good harvest. It's more easy to reap the bad harvest. It's easier to sow the seeds that are carnal in nature than sow the seeds that are spiritual in nature. It's easier to do that. It takes effort to sow good seed. So those are some of the principles that come out of this statement in verse 7. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now that brings us on then to this statement in verse 8 itself, with regards to the carnal harvest. And the next thing I want you to consider is, what is it to sow in the flesh? Because this is the point that Paul highlights here in this opening statement of verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh. So, well, what is it to sow to the flesh? What does Paul mean by that? What can we be doing that means we're sowing to the flesh? Well, the first obvious thing I believe to note is that Paul is not here mentioning the flesh for the first time in writing to the Galatians. So that will surely immediately suggest to us, well, let's go back to where he mentions this already. And that takes us back into chapter 5 there in verse 16, where he introduces this subject of the flesh and the spirit to us. Because chapter 6 verse 8 has this contrast, sowing to the flesh, sowing to the spirit. There's those two elements that are found in chapter 6 verse 8. Well, if we come back to verse 16 of chapter 5, we will find here's where he introduces these two elements, the flesh and the spirit. So surely there is to be some connection. We're to follow on through from chapter 5 verse 16, on through into chapter 6, right on to verse 8. And this statement that he makes, that's really the climax. That's him bringing to a conclusion what he has already been saying about these two things, the flesh and the spirit. And you will notice here, if we read from chapter 5, verse 16, that he mentions the flesh. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's already dealt with this subject. He's already dealt with this subject. He's already introduced these two themes, the flesh and the spirit, to us. And if we just concentrate this morning on the flesh here and what he has to say in Galatians chapter 5 about it. It's contrary to the Holy Spirit, it tells us. You will see that in verse 17. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the word for spirit is in as a capital letter, which indicates not our spirit that is in view here, but it is the Holy Spirit that is in view. So the flesh is said to act contrary, to lust against the spirit. So it is the flesh here is something that is acting contrary to the Holy Spirit. It is said to lust against the spirit. There is contention against the Holy Spirit. So when we come through then to chapter 6 and this statement in verse 8, where it says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. This is what we're to understand by the flesh. Here are the things that are highlighted. Now in those verses there, verse 19 to 21, we have Paul outlining, numbering for us the works of the flesh. We can divide them up into four categories. There's four categories of sins there in those statements. There's first of all the sins of lustful desire, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those sins that are mentioned there in verse 19. Those are all the sins that fall into the area of lustful desire. And we've mentioned some of those with regards to David. He fell into some of these sins. If we sow to the flesh, if we sow to these sins, there's a harvest to be reaped. Then there's also there the sins of ungodly denial. If you take the next two, idolatry and witchcraft. Well, idolatry is anything that is put before the Lord. It doesn't necessarily have to be a physical idol. There are people and places today in the world and they worship idols. And they engage in physical idolatry. But if there's anything put before the Lord, if we put anything at all before the Lord, it could be another person in our lives, it could be a career, it could be recreations, it could be pastimes, anything that comes before the Lord is an idol. Anything, no matter what it is, it doesn't actually have to be something physical that we set up before us and bow down. That is one form of idolatry, but there's idolatry in the heart. Idolatry is anything that takes the place of the Lord and comes before the Lord in our lives, and that takes in a whole host of things. So there's all of these sins of idolatry. If we sow to those things, men and women, if those are the things we live for and we sow the seeds of them in our lives, the principle here that is outlined for us in this thought is that we reap a carnal harvest out of those things. We live for those things that we put before the Lord. And they take up our time and our effort and our resources and our energies. And the Lord gets relegated down our life somewhere. There is a harvest that will come from those things, and it is not a pleasant harvest. It's in the category here of sowing to the flesh. Then witchcraft that is mentioned, that takes us into that dark world, that dark satanic world. And sadly, as we know, there are people and places on the earth, and not far away, people round about us, who sell themselves to those dark things of the world. Those dark things that belong to the world of Satan and following him. Again, people who live for those things, there's a harvest to reap. So there's the sins there of ungodly denial. There's the sins of uncontrolled temper. If we come to verse 20 again and start there with that hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. If we come up to that position in the list. Sins of uncontrolled temper. These are all acts and forms of feeling which are contrary to that principle of Christian love that is to characterize us. And then fourthly, the last category here, there's the sins of sensual appetite. Because it finishes off there with drunkenness and revelings and such like.
So there's those four categories that are highlighted there with regards to sins. Lustful desire, ungodly denial, uncontrolled temper, sensual appetite. Right? Paul is saying if we sow the seeds of these in our lives in any form, then all of those principles that we've been thinking about with regards to the harvest is going to apply. The principle of the kind, you reap exactly what you sow. The principle of the quality. The principle of the quantity, the principle of reaping in a different season, the principle of it being easier to reap a bad harvest than reap a good harvest. All of those things will apply, Paul says. And sowing to the flesh, therefore, represents indulging in these sins. In any way. The more we indulge in them, the more are the seeds that we are sowing. But if we give room for them in any way in our lives, we're sowing seeds. And then the question is, you see, are we sowing sparingly or sowing bountifully? All of those laws that we've already dwelt on this morning come into to play. And remember, Christian, you and I can sow to those seeds. Or you and I can sow those seeds. We can sow to the flesh. Go back again to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3. Now, it's true, the unsaved are most certainly sowing those seeds. That's what they live for. They live for the things of the world and for the sins. Well, there might be sins there listed that Paul said, and they might say, well, I don't follow those sins. Well, they may or may not. But then there can be sins of the thoughts as well as actually the sins of the actions. But they're following the ways of sin. They're most certainly sowing the seeds of the flesh that will reap corruption for them. But it's worthwhile remembering, and we've already thought about Jacob and we've already thought about David, but it's worth reminding ourselves, Christian, you and I can sow those seeds to some degree. 1 Corinthians 3, and these opening verses that Paul is here writing to this church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Well, are those not some of the sins that are listed there in Galatians 5? Among the works of the flesh. Paul says there is among you envy, and there is among you strife, and there is among you divisions. And he says, are ye not then carnal, if these are the things that are among you? And if we go back to Galatians 5, and that list that is given to us there by Paul under the spirit of inspiration, then these are the things that fall into these categories. These sins that were found in Corinth. So they were sowing these seeds to some degree. So this matter applies to us all today, whether we're a child of God or not. Very quickly, in the last place, to finish this out, what is it to reap corruption? We've thought about what it is to sow to the flesh. Well, what is it to reap corruption? Because this is the harvest that comes, we're told in verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Here reaping in kind, you see. Corruption is the harvest of sowing to the flesh. That word, well, it obviously means to corrupt, but it has the idea of to destroy or to perish. That's the meaning that lies at the back of that word, corruption. Ultimately, it means to perish or to be destroyed. And those who live, those who sow carnal seeds, will end up bringing about their ruin. That's the bottom line. We can think about it in different ways, but that, as we come to a close, that's really what it comes down to. If we sow these types of seeds, men and women, we will ultimately bring about our ruin. We will bring about our ruin. That's the end that is in view. We sang that hymn there. It asks the question in that opening verse. After the sowing of sin is all done, after the glory of earth has been won, after the sands of thy life have all run, oh, what shall thy reaping be? Well, sow seeds of the flesh and its corruption. That's what we will reap. That's what the reaping will be. With the law of the harvest, we reap according to Cain. If we sow carnal seeds, we reap corruption. That's the law of the harvest. It's a destructive harvest. As I say, the thought is of destroying or perishing there. Let me
quote some verses as time is running on. Job 4, verse 8. You can take note of these. Maybe look them up again yourself. Job 4, verse 8. This is what Job said. Even as I have seen that they that plough iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Even as I have seen, the writer says there, Job 4, verse 8. They that plough iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Proverbs 22, verse 8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. Remember what was said of Israel in Hosea's day, Hosea 8, verse 7, that they had sown the wind and they'll reap the whirlwind. They had sown idol worship, the seeds of idol worship, if you look there at the context of Hosea's day. They had followed the nations that were round about them. And now the prophet comes and says, you've sown the wind, you have sown the seeds of idolatry, you've thrown the seeds to the wind, you've followed the nations, the gods of the nations round about. Now you're going to reap the whirlwind. And those very nations whose gods they followed came in upon Israel and destroyed her. Those same nations whose gods they followed came in upon Israel and destroyed her. The principle outworked itself in Israel's life as a nation. They sowed these seeds and they reaped the harvest. It's a bitter harvest. Remember Cain, who cried out in despair of the harvest that he reaped, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." It's a bitter harvest. Remember Naomi, on her return from Moab and her backslidings there that she and her husband engaged in the land of Moab. The name Naomi means pleasant. What did she say when she came back from Moab to her family and to friends in Bethlehem? In Ruth 1:20, "Call me not Naomi, call me not pleasant, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." The word Mara means bitter. And there's a woman started out with a name pleasant in her life and in her circumstances. And now she's coming back and she says, "Don't call me pleasant anymore. I've had a most bitter experience. Call me Mara. Because that sums up my life and my experience." Naomi had reaped her harvest. Now we need to be instructed. We started off by saying that here in verse 7. Be not deceived. Our time is gone. But I would have finished off with Proverbs 1. I'll give you the verses and you can maybe ponder them yourself. Proverbs 1, 22 to 33. Just to look over that portion. Particularly two verses, and I'll just read them and we'll come to a close. Verse 31, 32. It says this: "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." You see, there's that principle worked out here that if we sow the flesh, we reap corruption. And I said the word corruption is the idea of destroying or bringing down to ruin. And that's what there is what's taught to us in Proverbs chapter 1, 22-33. The fruit of their doing, they'll be filled with their own devices. What is it? Turning away the simple shall slay, the prosperity of fools shall destroy. That's the law of the harvest at work in the carnal realm. And may the Lord even instruct us. May it be held up as a warning to us today. Every one of us. No, whatever our spiritual state is, let it be a warning to us today. Be careful what seeds we sow. The law of the harvest will work. Let's bow in prayer.